Hi, it's Lucy, and welcome to The Real Girls Club, my podcast where I celebrate the incredible women shaping the world of film. Today, I have a special bonus episode coming to you from the BFI London Film Festival. Joining me today is Shiori Ito, a Japanese journalist, filmmaker and activist who just premiered her powerful new film, Black Box Diaries. The documentary film, based on her own personal journey and legal battle, is an unflinching look at sexual violence, survival and resilience. It's set to hit UK cinemas on October 25th, and I'm so lucky to have Shiori here today to talk about her creative process, the challenges of turning such a personal story into a film, and why Black Box Diaries is more relevant now than ever. Before we begin, a quick content warning. This episode and the film discuss topics related to sexual violence and sexual assault, which may be triggering for some listeners. If you or someone you know is affected, I've included some helpful resources in the show notes. Let's get on with today's episode. I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for listening.
Hey, nice to meet you. Hi.
Hi. You too. Hi.
Hi, and thank you so much for joining me today during the BFI London Film Festival, where your documentary Black Box Diaries is having its UK premiere. So congratulations for that. And also thank you for being on my podcast to talk about this. You know, your story, in particular your film, has gained, you know, already international attention. It's already been featured at the Sundance Film Festival earlier this year, and then at South by Southwest. I'm wondering what's been the global reaction to your story so far, and do you feel that societal responses to sexual assault differ across countries? Have you seen a different response, you know, based on what you've had from home?
Well, it's hard to compare as we haven't yet screened in Japan, unfortunately. It's still a sensitive topic. But it's really shocking and surprising to see how many, you know, of us have been through something similar, or, you know, someone you love. So it's really hard recognition of how universal this issue is. So I wouldn't say, yeah, there's border between this violence, but I think, you know, what happens, rape, it can happen everywhere, but how the society reacts, how the legal system works are, of course, different in different places. So that has been very interesting topic to exchange among audience.
I mean, those who aren't familiar with your story, can you just explain the title Black Box Diaries? Where does the black box term come from?
Yeah, I know when you hear black box, you usually think about this, you know, information box and on the airplane. But in Japan, that was the term that police and prosecutor were using to talk about rape. That it's in the black box, so they don't know what happened. So basically, meaning closed door, behind a closed door, when there were no witness around. But I just felt like the black boxes are everywhere in the Japanese society, in the investigation, in police, prosecution, and the society. So this film is trying to open these black boxes in different parts of the society.
Your work as a journalist and as an activist now is widely known, and now you've entered into the world of filmmaking. I mean, you've done other documentaries before, but this is different because you're really at the centre of it. And you also told your story in your book, Black Box, and I'm wondering what motivated you to transform your experience now into a documentary film?
Yeah, well, I wrote the book 3 months after I went public, and so I published it really quick, wishing to have some change in our law, which we had like 110 years of rape law, very, you know, backwards, no updated for a long time. So I wrote it as a journalist perspective, so I didn't put much emotional in it. And also it was before me starting the civil court case, so I didn't feel comfortable talking too much. So whole this process, writing book, filming, documenting, I think it helped because I was a journalist. But I felt like I've been leaving myself as a survivor somewhere and behind, because it was just also hard to face. Maybe it is typical trauma reaction, but it takes some years, some months to really understand what's going on in you, I guess. So when I felt that, I felt like I needed to be honest and face myself, and that's something I cannot do much in journalism, but in film I could. So that was one of the reasons why I wanted to try to tell story from the perspective of survivor.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I found the film both very intimate and also deeply personal. You know, you're showing yourself at your most vulnerable, really, and yet you remain really determined throughout the whole film, you know, to fight for your justice, to fight for what's right. And I'm wondering, how did you approach this process of translating something that's so painful and complex into a visual narrative, something that could be understood by everyone, even to people that haven't been through what you've been through?
First of all, I try to not traumatize myself again visually and other audience. So I didn't want to put anything visual, any details up front. So in the film, you only get to know what really happened towards the end. Because for me, what happened, the rape itself isn't the center of the topic. What happened after, the society is the topic. So I try to focus on that. But still, yeah, revisiting all the footage that we gathered over 8 years were more than 400 hours of footage, and it was really revisiting many moments that I wish I'd forgotten, and I have forgotten. So it was a huge exposing therapy session in the end.
Yeah, I was going to ask that actually. Did it feel in some way cathartic or healing for you to do it?
Not at all during making the film. It was too hard, too much to face. But once I completed the film, once especially when we premiered at Sundance, I felt like it finally traveled off from my shoulder, and it felt really therapeutic. But also I think it's the knowing the power. I just was feeling, it was feeling very, very empowering that I could tell my own story. Survivor can tell, you know, themselves using your own voice is so powerful, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I was very happy about after finishing the film, making the film.
In the film, you are playing sort of this dual role where you're at the centre of it, but also it's you telling the story. I'm wondering, what did it feel like wearing these different hats, you know, director, camera operator, subject, and how did you sort of group all these different roles in order to tell the story in the way you felt the most honest and, you know, what you wanted to say, but maybe not saying everything?
Yeah, that was the hardest task during the editing process. How much emotion is okay to put as a director, as a, you know, the subject, and it was the hardest one. But in the end of the day, when I was unsure, I start thinking, if I'm making someone else's story's documentary, what I do. So I try to treat it as, again, yeah, I'm telling someone else's story, so that way I wouldn't necessarily self-censor some of the shots. To do so, it took some time.
Mm-hmm. And as the film's about to be released, it's going to be released on the 25th of October in the UK and UK cinemas. What would you want audiences to take away from it after watching it?
I just want to share the joy of storytelling. Even if it's a hard one, it reaches somewhere and it's very powerful. So, yeah, I'm just so happy that we are doing this. Mm-hmm. And because it's a hard story, watching in cinema theater is a powerful way to do it, I think. So to share as well the atmosphere, the air.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope after, yeah, audience watching the film, I hope I can empower through it. And if there is any survivor watching, I hope they can believe their own, you know, truth.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I truly admire your work. And after learning all about you, after I was contacted about your film, I mean, I was fascinated. And the news really hadn't reached my part of the world. I feel bad saying this, but I hadn't heard about it. And I was just really amazed by your story and your film, both as a journalist and now as a filmmaker. And of course, an activist has sort of become part of your role now. And to me, it feels like a sort of powerful act of reclaiming your voice and your agency. And I'm wondering how creating the film has helped you to sort of take back control of your narrative. Has that meant a lot to you personally, where you feel like you're leading it now, not something that ultimately made you feel out of control, is something you've taken back?
Exactly. 100%. I think it's really important, because sadly, these traumatic stories, I've seen so many stories about sexual violence or trauma but it's often told by third party, especially when it's film. So it meant a lot to me that I would use my own point of view as a survivor. Yeah, so that was really important and very empowering.
Mm-hmm. Your case, you know, revealed very deep flaws, really, in Japan's legal system, which, as you said, is very outdated. And I also watched another documentary on Netflix about the Lucy Blackman case, and it made me realise that it seems like there's a long line of similar cases from the past and probably still today. And, you know, it was from her father, really, who was determined to figure out what happened, that really anything got done. And the same as you, I think, you know, without your perseverance and your determination, maybe nothing would have changed, you know, the fact that you decided to speak up. And I'm wondering, what changes have you seen in Japan since speaking out, and what do you hope to see in the future?
Legally speaking, there was two biggest change since I spoke. It's finally a male victim can report rape. And second, age of consent became 13 to 15. Mm-hmm. That's like, to start with, 13 is crazy.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, the other one is, it's not really defining that rape is not down to consent, but now, last year, finally, if the victim is unable to, in a status of unable to consent, that's the crime. So it's not about victim stating the consent, mm-hmm. but if they are unable to consent, so if they were intoxicated or if they were overpowered by, I don't know, different age or role in an organization, that also could be the case. Mm-hmm. So meaning, if what I experienced happened today, maybe outcome is different. So because in civil court case, I lost, you know, not lost, the case was closed and dropped in a criminal case, but in civil court case, the judge ruled that there was no consent. I couldn't give a consent. Mm-hmm. So yeah. That was a big change. But still, it's not about status or being able to give a consent or not. It's about consent.
Yeah.
So that is still something we need to update. And I really hope soon we can screen this film and start the discussion and conversation around it.
On a more sort of personal level, what advice would you give to other survivors of sexual violence who may be afraid to come forward? I mean, you've been so brave to write a book about it and, you know, go public about it and now do a film. I know that that wouldn't be the case for everyone. Not everyone would be able to say something, and really you've sort of been the voice for other people, like, you know, part of the Me Too movement in Japan. So yeah, what advice would you give?
Believe in your truth, and no matter what other people tell you, you know the best. And also, survive is the first thing. So for me, asking questions, seeking justice was survival in the end. But not to speak about it, take time, it's survival too. So there aren't many different ways, but the important thing is to survive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's also a lot of judgment if somebody takes time to say anything about it. But like you said, the truth is you need the time to process or really think about it before you can even say anything. And finally, I'd like to know what's next for you. Do you plan to continue telling stories through documentary and filmmaking? I mean, what do you have? What are your projects following the UK premiere of your film and onwards?
Yeah, so I already have a few projects that I'm already working on for the future film. I think now I'm excited to do more film that I can share this, you know, story in this amazing safe place, theater. So as soon as I get off from this film festival trouble, I will start making new film.
That sounds good, exciting. And I mean, you're based in the UK now, not based in Japan?
Actually, I was based in UK, but during COVID I got stuck in Japan filming some other project. But then last year I moved to Berlin to just make sure that I have a safe house. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had many friends who left after Brexit and who, yeah, so I didn't feel like coming back for now to UK. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying out, yeah, Berlin for now.
Berlin sounds good, and also a very creative cultural place, especially for film. Also because you studied to be a journalist and everything, so ultimately, yeah, it's not how you imagined starting out, but I mean, you've got an amazing path ahead of you, I think, and you know, you've already done so many amazing things, so I look forward to seeing what other films and books and other things you'll be part of. So yeah, thank you so much for chatting with me today.
Thank you. Arigato. Thank you so much.
Arigato. Bye. Thank you.
That's it for today's special bonus episode of the Real Girls Club. A huge thank you to Shiori Ito for sharing her time and insights with us today. Her film Black Box Diaries premieres in UK cinemas on October 25th, and I encourage you all to go and watch this powerful and important story. Of course, a quick reminder that the film covers sensitive topics related to sexual violence, so please be mindful of potential triggers. If you or someone you know has been affected by any of these issues discussed in the podcast, I've included helpful links and resources in the show notes. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and follow us on social media at Real Girls Club on Instagram to stay up to date with all things Real Girls Club. As always, thank you for listening and supporting women in film, and I'll see you in the next episode.